This is a Bible teaching podcast from www.lumen.org.uk. The presenter is Jeff Lumley.
We're in Romans chapter 8, and let's pause before we continue and look back and admire the view. In Romans chapter 1, we saw the downward trajectory of humanity. And we saw that God said that everything was just, in a sense, going further and further away from him. And it says clearly that the wrath of God is being revealed. This is verse 18 of chapter 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of man who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And now in Romans chapter 8, we have, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we see this great hill that we've been walking up as we've come from Romans chapter 1, where Paul has shown God's plan in those he foreknew, those he knew before, how he's talked about people like Abraham and Noah and others, and shown how God has worked to deal and to bring humanity around and to turn them back to him. The wrath of God is revealed against all the godlessness, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we have climbed this hillside, and we now have this view, and we look back and we say, we could still be there. We could still be in the condition that the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon us. But we're now up this hillside looking back, and it doesn't matter what enormous flood comes in that valley. We're safe here. We're safe here. That's where we are. That's where God has put us. And so it's worth pausing and looking back and seeing that, but it's also worth pausing and looking back and asking, who is it that is down there and who is it that is up here? Let's start with verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. The RSV puts it this way, but you are not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And that's the question we all have to come to. Does the Spirit of Christ live in me? And I'm going to read you something from R.T. Kendall's book, one of R.T. Kendall's many books, which I think will help you to make a decision about this if you're not sure. So I'm reading from chapter 5 of R.T.'s book, The Lord's Prayer. And this is from the beginning of that chapter, and it's the chapter on the line of the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come. Jonathan Edwards, the greatest theologian in American history, taught us that one of the things which the devil cannot do is to produce in us a love for God's interest and glory. Satan is a great counterfeiter, but he cannot put in your heart an unfeigned concern for what concerns God. Why is this important? For one thing, if you have a love for God's glory, it shows you have been genuinely converted. I take the view that the primary basis of assurance of salvation is to look to Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. If you trust him and not your works, you're saved. But there are some who feel they have done this and yet worry whether they have been saved. If so, Edwards' teaching provides a secondary ground of assurance. If you love God's glory and what interests him, you can be sure you have crossed over from death into life. Satan didn't put that love there. He's indeed a great counterfeiter, but he is simply unable to make you focus freely on God's concerns. So if there were any doubts, if there are any doubts, if you think you might be saved, the two questions RT gives us. Number one, do you trust in Jesus for your salvation? Have you said, I can't do it myself. I can't work to make myself right. Thank you, Jesus, you died on the cross for me. That may not make you feel saved, but if you've done that, you are saved. And if you continue to live in that, you are continually saved. But then that second one is, do you have a love for the things God loves? Do you want to see God's will done? Do you want to see God's kingdom come? Satan didn't put that desire in your heart. If that is there, you are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. Now, there may be things which you find constantly get you. You believe, you know you're a Christian, but you keep tripping up. There are things that come back and haunt you. And you know they haunt you because they are put there by that one that haunts. They are oppressions from Satan. And you need to come to the Lord and start to deal with those things. Sometimes we know where they started. Sometimes we can look back to our youth, maybe before we were a Christian, and know that we started doing things, maybe looking at pornography, maybe drugs, maybe alcohol. Whatever it is, you can look back to where you started, and that's what you need to come to God and repent. Lord, back then, I did this thing, and I invited this stronghold into my life, and it's had a grip on me, and I haven't been able to shake it off, because you know what? It's not by works. Lord Jesus, I confess I did this. I repent of it. I choose to have it done away with. Free me from it in the name of Jesus. And you might find that is enough, and you might find actually that begins to make something really angry inside you, which is a sure sign that there is a demonic activity going on. And maybe some deliverance is needed, but that doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It doesn't mean that you're not controlled by the Spirit of God, because the very desire to get rid of it is evidence that the Spirit is at work in you. So let's just pray for you right now in that situation. Lord God, for whatever it is that trips us up time after time, that we wish we did not do, for whatever it is that we can say along with Paul in chapter 7, what a wretched man I am. I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So we bring these things to you and just confess them. I don't want to bury them, don't want to squash them down, don't want to pretend they're not there. Let them come out right now. Let me be honest with you, Lord Jesus, and out in the open say, I confess this thing. Would you rescue me? Because that's what you're good at, Saviour. You are my rescuer. You are my fortress. You are my deliverer. You have become my salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Continually bring that before the Lord. When you slip, if you slip again, bring it before the Lord. Don't squash it. Don't push it down. Don't suppress it. Say, here I am again, Lord. I bring it to you. I confess it. Guide me to show me how to be free. Guide me to the right Bible verses, whatever it is. Lord, set me free in Jesus' name. Do not let the enemy get a foothold by convincing you that you are not worth it. Jesus has made you the apple of his eye, and he wants to deal with it. Give it to him. He'll deal with it better than you can. Let's get back into Romans chapter 8. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. I think we've settled how you know you belong to Jesus. If you have decided now that you do not belong to Jesus, then if you want to, now is simply the time to stop this tape, stop what you're listening to, switch it off and talk to him and tell him that you want to belong to him. Tell him that you know he died for your sins and that he died to forgive you and there's nothing you can do. Name some of those things you'd want dealt with. Bring yourself to him. Commit yourself to him. Pray your kingdom come in my life and your will be done from this moment forward in my life. And thank him. Ask that he will lead you to godly people, Christians, if you don't know any at the moment, and a good church where they take the Bible seriously. And if Christ is in you, verse 10, your body is dead because of sin. But your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So when we say, you know, you become a Christian, you will live forever, we are never talking about your body. People say, oh, come on, every Christian I know, they're buried or they're burnt. No, it's not about your body. Your body is already dead. From the moment you were born, your body is condemned to perish because that's what sin has done. But your spirit is given eternity and will be given a new body, which is not a body to perish, but a body to reign in eternity with Christ. And that is what we're talking about. Your spirit is alive because of righteousness, the righteousness that Christ has given you. You are not righteous by your own works. You can never be righteous by your own works, but he robes you in righteousness. He gives you his spirit. He declares you to be holy and righteous in his sight. And verse 11 says this, and I've highlighted it in my Bible. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So, if the Spirit lives in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies. And this is what we're talking about. Yeah, your body is going to perish. Your body is going to go into the grave or go into the incinerator, whatever. But he will give your body life. There will be resurrection. And that is beyond what I can comprehend. How can someone who has been dead 1500 years, say, and their body is totally decomposed, and possibly trees have grown through where they were buried, or their ashes have been scattered to the winds. How can God raise that body? Do you know? He can. Don't know how, but that's good, because I don't want to know all of God's mysteries. I just thank him that it's true. And this bit about the power of the Holy Spirit, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also. And it says in Ephesians chapter 1 that it says, let's find it, right down towards the end of chapter 1, that his, this is verse 19, his incomparably great power for us who believe is part of the hope to which he has called you. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. This power, and then God placed all things under his feet. That's an immense power. Where is it? Ephesians 1, verse 19. That incomparably great power for us who believe. Romans 8, verse 9, verse 10. Verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. That great spirit dwells in you. He's come to make his home. This is where he rests. This is where he stays. We know we can grieve him. We know we can get out of fellowship with him. But he dwells in us. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. This is where he chooses to be on this earth. I know people who walk into a church and cross themselves when they look at the cross on the table at the front. I was taught never to call it an altar. There are no sacrifices made on it. I know people who think that's where Jesus is, but he isn't. He is in the body of Christ. He is in those of us who are his. That is where Jesus is. And there are psalms, and I quoted one just now, I think, which talk about the fact that he is in us and he gives us life. He is our saviour. He gives us deliverance. He is our fortress. He has lifted us up and stood us in this holy place. That's what he has done for us. And the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And the enemy doesn't want us to understand what that means. But it means, as Jesus said in John's Gospel, anyone who believes in me will do the things I have been doing. He will do greater things than these because I go to the Father. That's what we have. And most of us have forgotten it. But I think now is the season God is reminding us of this and wanting us to find out for each of our own circumstances, our own lives, our own ministries, because we all have a ministry, how that is activated, how that is to be worked out. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The wrath of God is being revealed against all the godlessness and wickedness of humanity. The Spirit of God dwells in you. We've come a long way. Let's see if we can get some of those people who are at the moment down in the valley under the wrath of God lifted up. Let's see if we can get some of those people brought to a place where God will be able to dwell in them too. Amen.
Forgiven you. Ooh, how can
The music is by graceforall.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening.